at all? And what would circumstances where you would defy a court order?
Well, I think that number one, nobody's been through more courts than I have.
Say you have a, can you hear me? Say you have a situation where the body is feeling like pain or uncomfortable sensations. Can the awareness of self be strong enough to where the body sensations don't affect you, or can it get to the point where, I don't suppose it can get to the point where the body sensations just disappear, the uncomfortable or painful situ sensations don't just disappear, but you can be unaffected by them. Anyway, I had a sort of experience like that earlier in the week where I was feeling discomfort, and it seemed like I was able to withdraw my consciousness within itself to where the pain or discomfort wasn't affecting me. It was almost like it was like not, I could see that the discomfort was not me. I'm just wondering how. To what, how far that can go? Can you totally, like when Nisargadatta was going through cancer pain, he realized he was not the pain. He was probably the body
It
was.
was horrible, horrible pain. I mean, you read the books, and he says, like, as he's speaking and doing these things, there's no concentration on the pain, but the physical body, as long as you're holding a body, there's going to be it's a disturbance in the five elements. If you stub your toe or you break your hand or something like that, it's not the body that feels pain. You're the feeler.
Yeah.
It's like a sensation that's coming through, and oh, there's pain. However, there is quite a bit of difference between pain and suffering. If I break my hand, the pain is there. If I continue to keep paying attention to the hand, oh, the hand is throbbing. Oh, my hand really hurts, this and that. That mentation, that getting caught up in thinking, that creating a thinker thinking thoughts about this pain, this is causing suffering. But pain is pain. I mean, I know if you're speaking about too, like there are people who can walk on coals and all that kind of stuff. And these are, again, body-based siddhas within the bubble of illusion. And shouldn't be like strived for. As far as if you remain with your selfless self, which it sounds like what you were doing, you say, okay, I'm in some pain, but I withdraw my attention from the pain and put my attention on myself, that center, that just I presence. Then, yes, it's not that the pain will be less, it's that the attention is not on this pain, because pain is usually just a sharp boom. That's it. It's pain. And it comes and goes. But when you're remaining with your selfless self, especially if you're diverting your attention, oh, just here. The same as you would do stuck in traffic, or if you had to complete some task that, quote unquote, was not pleasant, you can remain with your selfless self. Therefore, you're not creating that mentation cycle, that I am thinking, I am suffering, I am in pain.
It actually seemed like it re reduced the pain to some degree.
Because your awareness was on the pain. Again, you place your attention more inwardly towards your selfless self and less on the body based what's going on in the body. But as far as like you say, oh, I'm not body, I was not body, and then somebody like burns your arm with a match, this is going to have pain. Because it's a five elemental body. And the body can be burned, can be cold, can be hot. All these sort of things, when you know yourself in a real sense, there's a knowingness that this is not happening to me. And yet their pain signals are still coming. Like there's, oh, I'm having cold or whatever, or I am being burned, or I hit my toe, or something like this. But it's not that focus on this over and over and over. I am not body. It was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Same with any kind of anxiety, disturbance in the five elements. You don't pay attention to, oh, I feel nervous, or my heart is beating very fast. I start to pay attention to the heart, and oh, my heart is beating fast. I'm having trouble breathing, whatever, all these things. But yes, it's good that, okay. Meditating through, I think there was somebody who came to Ramakant Maharaj, USA. And who asked about meditating through surgery? They had some procedure done or whatever, and they weren't going to get anesthesia. They were just going to have meditation through surgery. And Maharaj is like, this is body. So take care of the body, do what the body needs. If you're in pain, you take painkillers. If you're in serious pain, you go to the doctor. The doctor will take care of the body. And yet, you know, there's a knowingness. I am not this body that's in pain. There's a feeler of the feeling of pain, this formlessness that you are, but it's not actually being affected by this. And that's how Nisargadatta Maharaj, with the cancer, was able to go about his business and do his duties. His body was failing. Like, you see pictures of him and the other as he's like getting older and really getting in that cancer state. You can see the cancer state is definitely attached to the body. But Nisargadatta Maharaj had no doubt, I was not this body. I am not this body. I'm not going to remain this body. Actually, sometimes pain is letting you know there's a disturbance in the five elements. Like, you start having a stomach ache and you say, oh, I'm going to meditate through this stomach ache. I'm not going to worry about it. And it keeps persisting, persisting, persisting. And then finally you say, oh, I got to go. And the doctor says, oh, it's a good thing you came in when you did, because this is something happening to you, a bleeding ulcer or some such thing, or your appendix, or whatever. Because the body is a five elemental body, it will experience disturbance. And it's your duty basically to take good care of this body. You only get this body one. That's it. So this experience is happening because this body form's available. You're not attached to the body, but as Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. When the body is cold, you put on a coat. When it's hot, you go to the air conditioning. When you stub your toe, you try to maybe take Tylenol, something like that. If it's too much, you go to the doctor to see if maybe this toe is broken.
You can't, when you have to go to the bathroom, you can't just meditate and not go to the bathroom.
Correct. I mean, you can, but you can actually damage your body doing this. You know, you hold and hold and hold and hold and hold. It's not good. Whatever the body needs, you just do. That's why people who get hung up on, like, oh, I have to have no meat and I have to do only vegetarian diet and all this. And Maharaj says, no, whatever the body desires, do desire, but in limitation. Don't sit there and say, well, my body desires two cases of beer every night and four lines of cocaine. No, because this is not in moderation. This is not something that is, but if at the same time the body desires chocolate ice cream, okay, eat chocolate ice cream. You don't say, oh no, I'm so spiritual, I don't need chocolate ice cream. As a matter of fact, egoistic spirituality is, I can't eat this, I won't eat that, I don't want to eat this, or whatever. If you know yourself and it's a long dream, just like when you go to sleep at night, everything you're eating and doing in the dream is not true. And it's okay. Oh, you say, oh, but I have compassion for these cows. I don't want to eat this meat. Okay, that's fine too. Don't make a big effort about it. Don't bring it in egoistically and say, I am not a meat eater, because then you're just creating an I. And the I that you are is the cow, is you, is the grass that the cow eats. It's everything. So there's no distinction. There's no like, this is this and this is this. But again, in moderation, because the body can only tolerate so much of everything. We know this. You know, you see people who, if they have tons and tons and tons of money, they're able to abuse their bodies like crazy because of the fact that they have tons of money. But yet, it's still a body. It's you know, hey, you might not have to work for months at a time, so you can just go on mad binge parties, but your body cannot handle it because the body is a food body, five elemental body that can have a disturbance, that can have all sorts of things go out of whack. If you really look at the body, you'd be amazed how in the world everything runs the way it's supposed to. There are so many little separate systems with this body that run in totally different Constantly, like breathing. Again, if you sit there and you have to pay attention to breathing, it's going to be a problem. You say, oh, how? Like if you had to actually physically say, okay, breathe in, breathe out. When you're sleeping, where what is happening? And that's why you know yourself in a real sense. You are the power that powers all the systems in the body. You are that, and the body occurs within you.
So it's actually you that matter, and I mean the body matters in the sense that it needs to be taken care of, but as far as what really is present is you, and the body is just like something that's passing in the
Yeah,
dream.
there's, well, you're like the formless passenger operating this body. You could say, like, when you're seeing through these eyes, it's not the body that's seeing through these eyes. The formless passenger, the formless presence, is seeing through these eyes. And that formless presence, when it identifies with a specific body, that's where you say, I am seeing. But there is just formlessness. This body and all the bodies. That's how we talked about before a funeral. Think about the concept of a funeral where there's dead body, here's a friend or family member, and know that presence is in all of these bodies, looking at that body and saying, oh, that one died. But the presence that was occupying that body form that we're all saying has died is occupying all these other bodies, and it's not like it like suddenly withdrew from that body and oh, it's now seeing through my eyes, and now my presence and this dead person's presence are both seeing. No, it's because just as in a dream, there is one seer and many, many forms. Forms are created and destroyed, five elemental bodies. And you are the constant, the body factory. Two pigs get together, make a pig. Two dogs get together, make a dog. Two humans get together, make another little human. And presence is all of that.
I imagine you recognize this all the time, whereas for me, sometimes I recognize it, and sometimes it feels like the I am is everything, that everything is the I am. But then I get distracted, and I'm not aware of that all anymore. But
Once you're aware of it, even once, you know that's the truth.
it feels so true when you're feeling it's like
And it doesn't need to be. This is where Maharaj says, once you know you're Keith, you don't have to keep saying, I am Keith, I am Keith, I am a man, I am a man. It's the same with the sense of presence that, oh, beingness, all of this is appearing on that spontaneous presence. And as you said, you look around, and there are times where you absolutely know, like in a crowded cafe, you could be sitting there and just kind of look around and know that everything and everyone that's inside this cafe, all the people, all the everything, is the same as if it's in your dream that you're dreaming at night. There is no difference. The only time a difference comes in is when you sit there and say, oh, this is a good experience that I'm having. Observing that all of these are the same as if I was dreaming this dream. If the seer in the dream was looking in at this cafe, when I wake up on the other side, I know that is so amazing. Like all those people, all the hustle and bustle, the people making the coffee and the people chatting and talking and coming and going through the doors, all that was myself. But when you know yourself in a real sense, it is the same. All of this is occurring within myself. This body form is available so I can kind of peek inside myself and see this Form appearing, playing for a time, and then not being. Again, same as dream. You wake up, oh, I had a dream that there was a busy cafe. And yet, when you wake up, body says, oh, I'm hungry. And you don't just say, oh, no, because I know I'm one with formless presence. There is no need to feed this body. But there is, just as there's a need to water the plant.
And just as you see stuff, and you don't feel compelled. In one sense, you know, okay, needs come up, but then the needs get satisfied. But you're still starting to lose track of what I was getting at. But you're still there, whether the needs are there or not. They come and go, but you're still there. Without
Spontaneous action in the moment.
needs.
I have a desire for some water. Okay. I put it down, desire satisfied. Was it wrong to say I had a desire for water? A desire arose through mind. And I think Maharaj says, like ego and intellect, take action. Action is pick up the water, take a drink. But there's no need to sit there and say, oh, you know, next time I'm thirsty, maybe I'll just meditate and not take a drink. I should be able to keep my attention on myself and not have attention on the desire to drink. But see, when you know yourself in a real sense, this is a spontaneous activity. It's no problem.
Just not an issue.
Yeah, it's no issue because there's not a you there that makes decisions or does these things. It is literally just spontaneous action in the moment. Same with your work, with commuting, with grocery shopping, with everything. It's just spontaneous. And see, the funny thing is, that is how it actually is. When you are not creating a thinker thinking thoughts about the current experience or saying, I'm experiencing such and such. And that's where mantra comes in. Because mantra, you can go through an experience, as I've spoken about before with my food poisoning and different things. You can go through an experience without creating an experiencer, and therefore there is no experience.
When you're doing that, is the attention like pretty much full on the mantra?
You pay attention to the mantra as it's, if you're actually wanting to do the mantra, then you're paying attention to the mantra as it's running. As you're getting more and more into mantra, you just listen to the mantra as it's running through the body, and you'll see that activities are occurring. But there's no sense of doership for these activities because you have not created an experience or experiencing or a doer doing. That's all done through mind. Oh, I'm doing such and such. Oh, I'm experiencing this. And that is an extra little add-on, a layer on your presence. And mantra helps to slowly, silently, and permanently remove all the layers, including the layer, I am doing something, or I am doing mantra. That's why when you say, oh, I can listen to mantra running naturally through the body. But I'm not actually doing mantra. It's happening spontaneously. There's no need for me to create a sense of a doer doing the mantra. And that's why also Sri Ramakant Maharaj says the meditator dissolves within the meditation. Because when you first go in and start to meditate, you have the concept of being a meditator, quote, meditating. You are doing some meditation, you are sitting for meditation. And then, as you continue in your meditation, to meditate on the meditator and not on the flow of thoughts or anything, because flow of thoughts, okay, there's something observing these thoughts that is separate and apart from the thoughts. So I start, ooh, what is this? Who am I? What is this? How, if thoughts are so subtle, how is the observation of thoughts possible? And then if I don't jump in with the thoughts, I notice that I'm more and more able to remain with myself and not get carried away by thoughts or different things that may be occurring or appearing to occur. It's just I feeling then is coming. Oh, now my attention is on this. Now, even if I do sit for meditation, I'm meditating with the sense of presence, with the consciousness meditating on consciousness, presence meditating on presence. And after some time, the meditation ceases. The meditator is dissolved within the meditation because there's no longer the concept of a separate meditator, which there wasn't anyway. That's just another layer of illusion that had to be removed. That's why if somebody says, so many people told Sri Ramakant Maharaj, I have trouble meditating, I don't like meditating, meditation is not for me, I have trouble with this and all that. But this is because you're still in the concept of a doer doing meditation. In reality, when you know yourself in a real sense, this is the meditation. Because there's nothing separate and apart. There's scenes arising and falling, the same as when you sat there as a meditator, you started to see thoughts coming and going. Now, this entire world and everything in it is your meditation.
So, John, if people unconsciously, without knowing who they are, like whatever they are doing, then that is also fine because it is spontaneously they are doing without thinking anything involved in the worldly activities.
If there's no concept of a doer doing, but I mean, just to think that there's no doer can lead you down an egoistic path of, oh, I'm not doing anything, or I'm not doing this. I'm going to go to my job and sit, but I'm not doing. I'm not a doer. There's nothing to be done. So you have to know yourself in a real sense for that spontaneous action literally just arise and fall, just scenes appearing and disappearing. That's why they talk about the renouncer renouncing. If I create the concept of a renouncer and I say, oh, I'm renouncing money, I'm renouncing shelter, or I'm renouncing comforts. Like in the old days, how like Catholic priests would wear like hair kind of vests or whatever that would scratch them because they wanted to renounce comfort. But this is not so good either because there's an egoistic sense of a renouncer renouncing. Rather, when you know yourself in a real sense, renunciation is automatic because there's nothing other than your own self.
Yeah, but
Spontaneous
when you, when,
action.
yeah, but when you say like know yourself means like body cannot know itself. It's only the self has to know itself.
And see, we don't even, in using words, if you're
Yeah.
sitting for meditation, there's a sense of presence. And your awareness pays attention to the sense of presence. And then there's identification more with presence than there is with body, which automatically removes world, body knowledge, thought, all these sort of things. As you remain with this I am, the sense of presence, the sense of existence, there is a knowingness that this sense of presence, as subtle as it is also not yourself because you can observe this. And then you know, oh, from this position, the first knowingness was I exist, I am, sense of presence. But whether this presence is here or not, I am. Presence came along with the body form and the knowingness, creating the concept of duality. I exist. But the one to whom this sense of existence has appeared was there. Otherwise, this sense of existence had nothing to appear to. There would be no one to know I exist if you did not exist prior to the feeling or the knowledge I exist. Body doesn't do anything. It's a dead body. Absolutely. Even now, it's a dead body, but because the essence, this body's able to sustain the essence, it's moving and providing power, and you're eating and drinking and all this sort of stuff to provide the body with sustenance. But the body is an inanimate object. You are the formless kind of management of this body. But it's not of this body. Just like a car, you can get in and out of any car you like, and presence is able, through all these different body forms, to have all these different vehicles to create the concept of duality and experiencer experiencing experiences. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you know that's the same as a dream. In a dream, all those characters were experiencing experiences, including the character that you identified with to be able to observe the dream. I'm experiencing this dream. I don't know it's a dream until I wake up on the other side, and then I know, oh, there was no experience or experiencing. There was no doership, no right or wrong, no good or bad, no time, nothing. Because it was all within the bubble of illusion called a dream. And when you know yourself in a real sense, the waking dream, so to speak, is known that there is only one consciousness, one presence in which everything is appearing. And it's identification with a body form. I am sleeping. This is a sleeping dream. I am awake. This is a waking dream. But all is the same. Within the waking dream, you're identified with a specific body so that you can have the experience of a world and otherness. When you sleep at night, you have a body and you're experiencing in a world, having the experience of duality and otherness. Yet you, the formlessness, if you're dreaming that you're swimming, you're not swimming. And you know this, when you wake up, you're not wet. The body that you are identified with or are using as a telescope to see inside the experience of both the dream and the waking is not wet. But in the dream, it was wet. You were swimming, then you woke up, but you're not wet. And you that you are, no matter what the experience is that the body or bodies or world is going through, you do not get wet.